Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. We have Jay Binkley filling in. You're in all week. You're in most of next week as well. Cody is on dance dad duty the next week and a half or so. He is on his way, I believe, today, maybe. Maybe already there. Probably on his way to Dallas, Texas.
So you're Cody's in dancing?
If they let him, he might. He might. But no, his daughter's got dance competition for the next week or so. So you're in with us for the next week or so, man. This will be fun.
Nice. We get mini camp, mandatory mini camp this week. Perfect week, man. It ends on Thursday.
Is that what you just – you mandatory
– they time the stuff right.
Mac's been going out there.
I know he has.
You're excited for this week of mini camp OTAs,
you know,
I mean?
Let's put
whatever the hell
bed.
They call it.
You know, let's put the thing to bed and have
– just get the training camp, please. Let's just fast forward.
The Rams were doing theirs in Hawaii. They moved their mandatory
mini camp.
That's
was
like the
cool.
First team to end the charging. They're charging for admission because, you know, a lot of fans can't go to the mini camps and only the media goes, what, one day or something. But this is going to be the way of the future of the NFL to make your mandatory mini camp open to public. It's another moneymaker. You know, that's a lot of playing people on a plane, taking everybody over there, taking 90 guys over there for mini camp to Hawaii. That's got to be pretty expensive. And I know Hawaii's paying for
They called it
tourism.
Maui camp instead of mini camp. They called it Maui camp. No, it's very smart. I'm with you. I think there's a chance that some teams decide to have it elsewhere. Who cares? I mean, might as well make some money off of it and do it in some way to spice it up, make it a little more interesting. For everybody that's out there, we'll talk some Chiefs coming up in about 8 minutes or so. You guys, of course, can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss any of the shows here on the station. You can check out Bink and his Washington State hat and everything else that's going on throughout the show today. You have a good Father's Day weekend,
for Mike
everything,
Leach, man. RIP, Mike Leach.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? He's going to get in the Hall of Fame now with that.
I hope
that
so.
Shift.
Yeah, I know he should. Excited, he deserves to.
Father's Day weekend. You were telling us you had an interesting weekend, Bink.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. It was Cody Gold garage sale.
Yeah, you were paying off one of the experiences.
Yeah, well, it was Zach and his dad, John. I mean, they bought it a couple years ago, had a good conversation on sports. We talked a lot of football, a lot of college football. Talked some Chiefs. We even mentioned some Royals because that game was really quick. That was that 4-0 game against the A's. So, of course, we talked a lot of Royals as well. So that was a lot of fun going down the center block.
Yeah, you said that's not what you told us, though. Drew's over there, and he knows. It wasn't just about what you were talking about. You said on Father's Day weekend, you ran into somebody.
Yeah, that's who you ran into, right?
Yeah, who did you run into?
I just ran into, believe it or not, my ex-wife. You know, it's like, hey, Jay, or whatever. And I was like,
Father's Day weekend.
It's like, great.
This is the...
Thank you. This is awesome.
This is the lady that you had your daughter with?
Yes, I did. You'll be in this situation someday too, Drew, and I've told you this.
we're not going down this road again.
Ex-wife somewhere.
We're not going down this road.
Yeah, Drew is a little like on edge today because he doesn't know.
I wanted to avoid divorce talk today.
He doesn't know where this show is going to go the next week and a half or so. Now, because last time you guys worked together on this many shows in a row, my understanding is it got a little interesting between you and Drew. So
see, that's not true, though. I have heard that it's nonsense. Because here's the thing. Everybody thinks I give Drew a hard time, which I do. But you guys do, too. Because Cody and Gold get after Drew. Because I hear your show. I know you get after him. And you know,
I was
talking to Zach and his dad. I was like, why am I always the one accused of ripping on Drew? The text line does a good enough job at it when he talks Bengals and stuff, but you guys don't exactly.
Drew knows he sets himself up so often, though. He sets himself so often and leaves that door cracked open for people to do that.
I think the text line really didn't like either was when we had the random question about what your favorite Disney movie was, and you said you hate Disney movies, basically.
I do.
And I think that rubs some people
That's an honest reaction. You said, what do you think about Disney movies? I said, I think they suck. And I mean, I told you exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
Text line didn't like it. Whatever. I don't care. Do you like Disney, Alex?
Yeah, I don't mind at all. Yeah.
Whatever.
What? Yeah.
I like The Rookie.
I know you do. That's why you said that was your favorite Disney movie.
I think yesterday.
I don't watch cartoons either. Drew wants me to watch cartoons. I don't watch cartoons. Beavis and Butthead's the last cartoon I watched.
There you go.
Yeah, thinking of The Rookie, I don't know. I think yesterday was the old opt-out decision for Rich Hill or whatever. Otherwise, they were about to have Dennis Quaid pitch for them at the big league level. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a little while. But yeah, let's start with where this Royals team is at. A winless homestand. They go 0-6. Losses to the Yankees, to the freaking Sacramento, or just A's, whatever they're calling them, throughout the entire weekend. And meeting on Saturday, and it was led by Bobby Wood Jr., it sure sounds like, and we'll play some of his comments in a second. I don't know where you're at in players-only meetings to begin with. I want to start there, and then we'll go ahead and talk more on the hitting specifically. Players-only meetings, you know things, you're already in a bad spot the minute you even are discussing players-only meetings. Now, we all know, if you guys have been around Kansas City for a long time, we all know Raul Ibanez had the very famous players-only meeting. That worked, I guess, if you want to give it credit.
Some guys are good at public speaking, right? Maybe some not so much.
The players-only meeting is interesting to me because you have it, and then if the next day you win, people are all like, well, see?
It worked.
And if they lose, we're like, well, that was a waste of time. Look, it's very evident that players-only meeting or whatever, that's not the problem. This is a team throughout the entire season that has not been able to hit from open day on. The starting pitching's been great. Starting pitching's coming back down to earth. Therefore, you're now also taxing your bullpen more because the starting pitchers aren't going into games as far as they were initially. But this baseball team, having a players-only meeting, that tells you the panic, in my opinion, that already is existing inside the organization. We know from the outside the panic's been there for a while from fans. We all see the tweets and the text line and everything like that. But inside the organization, the minute players are having a players-only meeting, it reaches that level. And yeah, I don't think, generally speaking, that they work. But they've lost six straight series at home. And I'll reiterate what I said on Friday's show, Bink. I think when you have the expectation that this baseball team has had going into the year and a baseball team that had an expectation to win this division, you cannot possibly sit here and be status quo.
No. You can't, and it's just like what Vern always said, and he said it a lot in his post game yesterday, winners just go and win, losers talk. Losers do their talking. Players-only meeting, listen, it needed to be done. Something needed to be done, whether you want to call it a players-only meeting or what, and it shouldn't have to come down to that. It should just be the guys looking at each other and talking to each other at their games going, because, they do it, they're in there alone anyway at that time. This could be done after any game. Like, hey, man, we need to step it up. But it's hard to step up and say something if you're struggling yourself. So that's the problem. Like, the team leaders, like Bobby Witt Jr. is not having a great year toward this point. Right. Sal Perez definitely isn't either. And those are your two biggest voices to speak. So they would have to throw themselves under the bus a little bit, too. Like, hey, I need to pick things up, which I'm sure they're doing that. It's like Mike Moustakas. I'll never forget, like, in 15, when he gets sent down. And Vern got married because of it. Remember, he came back up and hit 300 by June, so Vern ends up getting married, and he's married to Katie today because of Mike Moustakas. But he gets sent down. But he became more vocal when he became good. Like, that was always inside Mike Moustakas, that fire and team leader, and we got to see it, like him barking there at the steps there against Houston in the playoffs because he was hitting well. And you feel like you can speak out. The only guy I've seen really speak out and do team meetings that wasn't very good was Jason Hayward. back with the Cubs when they were playing in the World Series. Like, he spoke to them during the day because he wasn't playing very well. But he spoke and they listened. So you very rarely hear success of a team with someone that's not performing themselves. But I like the old school days, man. The George Brett days. You go in, you take that bat, you smash a toilet. You show your frustration. Hey, that stuff works just as well as the players only meeting. It shows your frustration.
But you and
like,
I also
I'm not
going
to take this anymore.
You and I also know, though, this was the conversation even a little bit last week, going back to the Jazz Chisholm stuff, and that is the makeup of this team, you know, the fire, at least outward display of the fire. I'm not saying they don't have competitive guys. Bobby Wood Jr., I think, is one of the most competitive guys that are out there.
100%.
But in terms of just showing it, I think to a certain extent, this goes with your manager as well. I think a lot of times fans want to see that the players are just as ticked off as you, the fan, and that usually doesn't happen, right? They're not going to publicly. They don't show that publicly as much as fans are willing, obviously, to show the frustration publicly. But I can promise you, they're frustrated. That's why the players only meeting happens.
Well,
that's fine. You can be frustrated all you want. The reality, though, of the situation is either A, which is what I think is the biggest issue. They don't have the right guys offensively on this roster currently to go and do it. And then you have the guys that just a year ago were having great years in Salvador Perez. Obviously, Bobby Witt Jr. was second in MVP voting. They go out and trade for Jonathan India. All these guys that you really have to count on for a season to go well offensively, that hasn't been there whatsoever. And so you sit here and it doesn't mean we're going to play the blame game like everybody does. You know, is it the game everybody loves to play? And we'll do that at 11 o'clock and figure out, because people are texting in, it's Q's fault, or it's JJ's fault, or it's Bobby's fault, or whoever. So we'll break this up. And I'm going to ask you guys at 11 o'clock basically to break up the 100% of the pie.
The blame game
goes, we'll get there.
But I used to be likes the fight guy, right? I want to see a baseball fight. I actually think it's needed for this team. You know, sticking up for your teammates. Because that stuff actually, to me, that stuff even works better than players-only meetings. Like when you stick up. Let's say the Royals, when they were, you know, 14 and 15. You just didn't mess with this team. Lorenzo Cain, what's he having anyway? It was 2014, and Tigers are trying to talk to him there on first base. He's like, no, I'm here to play and all that. Like, we can chat later. You know what I'm saying? No fraternization right now. I'm here to beat you. And that kind of set the tempo for it. Then in Chicago, you know, Gerard Dyson, Lorenzo Cain, the Cain-Holio incident, Chris Sale wanting to go get a piece of Yordano and stuff like that. But that was, his team was close. Yordano throwing at Machado, then a fight. You knew was going to happen, and it did. And that's what I always liked about Yordano. He was willing to do it. He knew by throwing at Machado it was going to be a fight. And Machado was coming to the mound, but he did it anyway. And they liked the fight. And I remember Sal Perez getting into it with Tim Anderson a few years ago. It's like, where's that fire at? Like, you want to see that. That brings a team closer together. Well, you say, hey, just go all out and get drunk or whatever. Just go hang out as a team. Because they've tried that, too. Other players have mentioned that. We just need to go out and get drunk or whatever and talk. Yeah, maybe so. Or just get in the fight. Just defend your players. Show that you care.
Here's what Bobby Wood Jr. had to say. This was after the game Saturday when the clubhouse was closed for an extra 20 minutes or so while the players were holding that meeting.
I think it was good. We needed to have that. Things aren't going the way that we want it to be. And so we have to talk about it. If you look at yourself in the mirror, you got to talk as a team. We're a family in here, and so families talk, and so that's what we did. And we got to just figure some things out.
Why was no the time?
Because it keeps going on over and over again where it's like, oh, it's going to come, but no, it hasn't came. And so we have to figure something out. We have to change something, and so the time was now.
Did any one player spearhead this meeting or anything of that nature?
Yeah, it was kind of everyone. Everyone spoke their voice, and
offensively, you're talking about hoping it comes. What's the stretch been like for you individually and as a team?
Yeah, for me, it's been not good, and so I gotta look at myself in the mirror and say, what do I need to do? And I just need to get better. It starts from me, and that's honestly something that when I'm going, things are going better. And so I just got to get back to being myself. And so I'm not trying to put pressure on myself, but just trying to go out there, be comfortable and confident and enjoy the game. And so that's what I want to get back to doing. And it's frustrating that I'm not doing what I am capable of doing and doing it very poorly. And so I just got to get back to be myself.
So that was Bobby Wood Jr. That was courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network after the game, speaking to some of the beat writers with following the players only meeting. I think Bank at this point, today's a day off before they start this road trip and take on the Texas Rangers. Today seems like the perfect time. If you were going to make in some sort of personnel change, today would be that day.
Today would be a day.
Yeah. I mean, look, we know that truly in the lineup, that's an external move. That is going out and trading for somebody. Although when you look at where this team is at, there, I think there's a reason conversation to be had on should they even be going out and buying, and also who's selling bats. I understand Rafael Devers got traded yesterday, but if anybody followed that story since opening day, he's been a pain in the ass for the Red Sox, upset about the Alex Bregman trade and or signing and everything like that.
I don't see
and
how
like
that it. Helps the chemistry. You know yeah, what I'm saying? Suarez,
to,
I think, would.
So I don't think a ton of teams are making trades to begin with, but what can you do now? And sometimes, yeah, it doesn't mean that it just cures all, but you cannot retain, in my opinion, the same philosophy, the same personnel on the hitting side of things. I'm talking about the hitting staff. And there's multiple guys, there's multiple names involved in that. When your team had the expectation they had, and then now they're dead last in home runs, it'd be one thing if that's all it was. Yeah. If you were just bad at home runs, because not like last year they had a ton of home runs, but we all know it's more than that. The team flat out is just not hitting in every key moment, and it's just single after single after single. If you're lucky, there's no pop. Jack Caglione is making the adjustment from AAA to the big league, so it's too early, 12 games in, to say X is happening with him, but have not seen any of that power as well, which should concern some people, at least on the development side, not with Jack Caglione, but hey, nobody has any power right now, Bink. So I think this would be the day and this would be the time to make a change with your hitting staff.
Time to do it. Get that just a second. What would you, something Bobby said there about everybody speaking. All right. First of all, like players only meetings, like you only want to hear from Bobby, Sal, maybe Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, you know, guys have been around. Like, I don't want, you heard the Mark Canha spoke. I don't want to hear from a guy hitting.
He's a veteran in the league.
I don't care. The guy's hitting 242, doesn't have a home run. He's played like 39 games. I could give a rip about what Mark Canha says. Seriously, Bobby Witt needs to stand up, be the leader of the team, be the guy. Sal Perez, let Wacha talk. Let Seth Lugo talk. If Cole Reagans wants to, it's fine. One thing I like is they're not finger pointing, because the pitchers could be pointing the fingers at the hitters. I mean, that could happen. At least that part's not happening. Because I remember Chiefs seasons. There were seasons, like Patrick Mahomes' first year, the offense could have pointed direct fingers at the defense. They just never did. And you know what? In return, really, when the defense carried the team the last couple of years, they were 15th in scoring points per game, they didn't really blame the offense, right? That's a cohesive team when you're not wanting to blame other sides. So I do respect the fact that pitchers aren't doing that with the players. But do you really want to hear, like, if everybody spoke, like John Rave and Mark Canha? Like, no. Give me the leaders of the team, let them do the speaking, and I don't want to hear from a Mark Canha. But as far as making changes, yeah, today's the day. You have to do anything. You can't just go status quo. Do I think it's all the hitting coaches' fault? Absolutely not.
Of course not. Yeah. This is the way the business works, man.
I know it is. It's
results-based business, and they have made player adjustments.
And coaching changes sometimes work, too. I mean, I'm not saying here, but I'm saying in college football, when you've seen it works for a short time, but it's got to be the right guy. What I'm saying is sometimes you get that initial buzz, but then it goes right back down. So you got to be careful with what you do. Yeah.
Ultimately, they need more bats, and those are external options. I understand that, but we see this happen. It's happened a few times already this baseball season in other organizations. When you have a certain level of expectation and you don't get to that level, teams, you know, send off hitting coaches and other personnel all the time throughout a season, because you say, hey, this is not acceptable. They already did that with certain players. Renfro, DFA, Melendez, obviously option. You know, they call up Rave and Lofton and obviously Cags, etc. They've made the internal
you think
switches.
Nick Lofton spoke?
I'm not sure, Pink. I'm not sure. I don't have as much of an issue as you do about like who spoke. Clearly, Bobby Wood Jr. was
I'm
one of the
say
key
Mark
members.
Mark Canha told me this. No, I'm going to go, yeah.
But that goes back to the original thing that I don't think players-only meetings do a whole lot.
I don't either.
How much of the, if they make a staff change, how much is that actually going to, so I guess until you do it, you really don't know. But for what we've known, hitting for average, like hitting wise, they're not bad, but it's the runners and scoring. It's them executing when they have the best opportunity to do it. And I don't know if that's a,
well, it's on the players, think that's Drew, as much, in my opinion.
I think it's more on, I think we all agree it's more on the players than anybody
inside,
else.
If they're, still, if they're, they're pitching them inside in situations, you know, there's runners in scoring position, all of a sudden they start lighting up and throwing right inside at them.
Yeah.
And they're not doing a damn thing about it. And they know that the Royals are going to sit there and take it. They're going to do it. They're going to continue to do it. So that's on the players. Hitting coaches could do one thing, but if they're sitting there and pitching you inside in crucial situations, it's not a hitting coach in that situation. That is on the players to react. That's why I said I wouldn't mind them sticking up for themselves at some point. But yes, when you switch coaching staffs, you see it in college football. Sometimes you get that initial bump.
Yeah,
you
but
get
it
that
gives
initial
you like
bump,
a
but
game,
then it always
then it
comes back down.
Yeah, right.
No, to your point, there's a real, if they were to make a change with the hitting staff, you know, the you maybe works for a week or two, or it doesn't, and then in 2 weeks you're in the same spot. But I think the point is that you have to show this is also you don't make changes just for your fans. That's a terrible way to operate. However, you have to show that like this is not acceptable.
Correct.
And I know they're still technically what 2.5 out of a playoff spot. It's not like they're 10 back. But we all have been watching this team now.
With the extra
six straight
wild card, everybody's in except your name's the Rockies.
Which is why you think if they do something now, you can try to salvage.
Correct.
Before it's too late.
And that would
I
be
guess.
The argument to either go and buy or to just get a change, whether it's the whole new voice thing or whatever. Something has to change. You cannot just go status quo heading into the series against the Rangers. We'll talk more Royals baseball at 11 o'clock.
It's frustrating, though. Six straight home series losses.
Yeah, no, fans should be upset.
I mean, six straight losses, but six straight series at home. That's the part, especially the 29 wins A's. 29 wins after this weekend. I mean, they're 8.5 back from the wild card, too. So, but that's a terrible baseball. They're 15 games out of 500. But didn't look like it against the Royals this weekend.
We'll talk more Royals at 11 o'clock, including, as we were trying to do there a little bit, players, Q, Piccolo, heading coaches. Where does some of the blame lie? We'll play that out coming up at 11 o'clock. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Let's talk a little Chiefs football for a second, though. Rashee Rice, I think he was holding like a football camp maybe down in Texas. This time of the year, you see a lot of that going on. I think Worthy might have had one recently, too. And a local reporter was talking to Rashee Rice, and he was also asked about Travis Kelce coming back and how excited he is that he's back.
25-pound less Travis Kelce.
There you go.
He's dropped 25. He's
good
roll.
Good. That should bode well for him in 2025. But Rashee Rice was talking about the wide receiver group. He said, quote, "We're going to be explosive this year. We're just excited to put on a show, to be honest. We know it's going to be a show. Only thing in the way right now is time. We're just waiting patiently." Now, this will not be the first time we've ever heard a Chiefs player in the offseason say we're about to put on a show. Or how about any player in the NFL say we're about to put on a show? However, this team was 15th in points per game a season ago.
Two straight years.
The last couple of seasons. And so we all know, despite winning 15 games, the offense was not at the level that people got accustomed to seeing.
And that's where coaching did matter.
Do you believe this offense is in a position to, quote, put on a show in 2025?
I think they can. I mean, you expect it on paper. Yeah, that's the way you go. Or if you go up to St. Joe, and I've told you, I've called it on the post game for years, the St. Joe Chiefs. That was the Chiefs I like, you know, on social media, seeing the bombs to Worthy or Rice or, you know, Hollywood Brown, seeing all that in training camp. That was great, man. Couldn't get enough of it. These long touches. Oh, man. And the Chiefs even talked about it, airing the football out more. Then, boom, reality hits. And then Hollywood Brown's out, the first preseason game. Then the fourth game, Rice gets hurt. And then all of a sudden, you're relying on a rookie who is supposed to just kind of, you know, take the back burner, you know, kind of learn his way behind, you know, Brown and Rice. All of a sudden, he's the guy. So when healthy, that can be a very explosive group that, you know, certain of these guys need to be worried about their next contract because these are the type of years to put up big numbers. And then you're never going to be in a better situation with a quarterback like Mahomes and a head coach like Andy Reid to put up big numbers that can get you paid going forward. Like Hollywood Brown, he has nothing. I mean, he's getting on the dawn of 30 here in another year. So, I mean, it's put up or shut up time for Hollywood Brown. Like, he needs to do it to go get the contract. So, on paper, I like it. I think they're a little more deep than they've been in the past. Not much more deep. But you throw Jalen Rawls in there, and you hope he can do things. And clearly, Juju's going to be here. He's got that experience. But, man, you worry if two guys go down, you know Rice is going to miss some games. So you are going to miss that. So someone else has to step up. So
maybe.
You need to, well, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, that's the big question.
I hope not. But you never know. If he does, that's when you need someone else to step up and be the guy. I do like the way Worthy progressed, though. Because beginning of the year, you know, time and space, when you're on the sideline, whether to catch it in or out, he struggled with that. But, man, he got really, really dependable from the midpoint of the season through the postseason. He's a leading receiver. I loved what I saw. But, yeah, I would love to see the Chiefs air it out and move the ball downfield more because that's only going to help the running game. Like, they're going to be a more complete football team if they can start backing up the safeties by the willingness to throw deep. That's going to do nothing but help the running game.
Yeah, so I feel great about the receiver room. That's not my question with this offense. You know, yes, within that there are questions, meaning.
But I think he's right. Your question, I think he's right. They can't put up a show.
Yeah, I mean, I feel good about the wide receiver room, which would allow them to do that. Now, yeah, Rice, maybe he's suspended, maybe he's not. Maybe it's two games, maybe it's four games, maybe it's not. I don't know. But
which we just find out, man.
You know, Worthy, I agree with you. We saw for two straight years this regime has been able to develop wide receivers throughout the season. You know, remember Rashee Rice's rookie year? It took a little bit later on, and then he was great. Xavier Worthy took on a much bigger role, had to, due to injury. We've seen that play out a couple times.
And he's looked great. Again, it's preseason videos and everything else, but he proved it last year.
I'll go back to what their original plan was last year. And then it got derailed because, yeah, Hollywood Brown gets hurt in preseason. Rashee Rice gets hurt in that Chargers game. Travis Kelce was then asked to be the guy again. And I think we have to remember that heading into the season, it sure looked like on a lot of the underneath stuff in space, who does a great job in settling in zones. Yeah, Travis Kelce, but Rashee Rice, that he's awesome at finding that space, kind of like Travis. He's learned from Travis, I think, on that. Right? And that's the role that they asked Rashee Rice to have last year prior to the injury. So if he is available right away, let's not forget how dominant he looked. So yeah, I think Rice is the best receiver clearly on this team. We'll talk more about production stuff with him and Worthy.
He was on his way to a huge year last year.
He was going
to
have 1,400 yards. I really believe that.
I think he was going to have
1,400 yards. And if he's going to be on that kind of path again, it sounds like he's ahead of schedule on the knee injury that he suffered in that Chargers game. Well, then, yeah, this offense can get back to putting on a show. But the elephant in the room, so to speak, still is for this to happen, it has to mean that the offensive line you feel good about on that left side. And whether that's Jalen Moore, whether that's Josh Simmons, you know, the guard situation is still in flux.
Can be the dude.
And I know we're going to talk more about those particular players tomorrow because we're getting about a month away now from the deadline also to get a long-term deal done with Trey Smith. And so that plays a role into this too. But if they're going to be putting on a show, like there's a reason why it's tough to be a top five offensive football. Everything has to come together, and that includes your belief in the offensive line. As much as I might believe in the wide receiver room, I have to see it from the left tackle spot too.
I mean, I do believe in it, and it is better than we've seen in the past. I mean, clearly, but again, like last year, it was good, but then injuries happened, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. Without Rice and without Hollywood Brown, that was not the receiving group that they signed up for. That is not the receiving group that they had in St. Joe with this offense and doing things. They had to readjust. I give Andy Reid full credit for doing that because he essentially was one team in St. Joe, and he was a completely different team week four of the season. That's where I give credit to the coaching staff because they did make the adjustments. I know we're talking to players or coaches. In football, it goes down to a lot of coaching. It just does. You can argue all you want to it, but certain high schools have certain head coaches, and they always win. And the reason is, it doesn't matter if the players are coming through there, just a system, and they make adjustments and they win. It's just the way it happens in high school football, but pros too. Like Andy Reid made those adjustments with that team, but on paper, they were looking great. But of course, if you don't have the time to throw the football, which you should, when you look at some of these accolades that these offensive linemen are getting, they should be good.
All right, we're just getting started here on a Monday. Bink is in for Cody. Up next, let's talk a little bit about what Drew's going to be sweating out this evening when it comes to the NBA Finals, plus an update on Cash Out Bro update.
Let's make fun of Drew.
No, I don't have any plans to do that in the next segment, at least. I will tell you something that Drew's going to disagree with me. I think you're going to disagree with me on, and it had to do with what people were watching over the weekend. That's next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave. I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, how fitting is it that Bink is filling in for Cody today? Because we had some news a week or so ago that we called you up, Bink, during What's Trending, that there were reports that something was going to happen again for the first time in a couple of years on July 4th.
Yeah.
We called you up. You gave us a little an instant reaction. It's now official, though.
It's official.
Joey Chestnut just tweeted it out. You just retweeted it, I saw.
I did.
He tweeted, "I'm thrilled to be returning to the Nathan's famous 4th of July hot dog eating contest."
Oh, it's a celebration for
Bink. He said, well, the event means the world to me, and it does to Bink.
Well, it should, because the previous record's 73, right? And he did 83 against Kobayashi in that Netflix special. And it's not 58 hot dogs won last year. I mean, Joey could do that in his sleep. He does that within 5 minutes.
How can he go back
within
to this,
Within 5
Bink?
Minutes, he could break the record. He's the all-time champion. You don't have him playing. I mean,
how can he go back to this? You know, he partnered up with a plant-based hot dog, and now he's back to the,
name,
the normal
likeness,
hot dogs.
Man.
You did not just say...
You take your money.
Hang on. You did not just say...
He did.
You
he
can't
did.
Have the hot dog eating contest and Joey Chestnut not play?
You can't.
You said it's play.
Well, compete.
There you go.
I shouldn't have said play. Compete. Play too. I mean,
he is not an athlete, Bink.
He's very much so. It was watered down last year. I watched it, but then I watched his YouTube thing he had.
This is the great line from his tweet. This is incredible. "I'm excited to be back on the Coney Island stage.
That's right.
Doing what I love. I live." He meant to say love. He said live, but I'm assuming he went for love. "Doing what I love to do and celebrating the 4th of July with hot dogs in my hands."
That's right.
Shouldn't he have said in his mouth?
That man has been That man has been in this studio with the Nathan's Hot Dog hats he gave us all.
I think Joey Chestnut was, other than the spelling of love, he thought that tweet out very much so in terms of how he phrased it.
Joey Jaws, I knew you'd be excited with that official
16-time champion, 16 Munster belts.
At what point are you going to hire your own production crew, Bink, and come out with the documentary yourself? You're going to narrate the documentary on Joey Chestnut's career.
May I talk Carrington and do that? He's been doing documentaries.
Yeah, that's his thing. I can imagine there's just like the trailer, and it's Bink narrating. It's like, some people think it's Mahomes. Some people think it's Brady. Some people think it's Jordan. But it's really Joey Jaws, the greatest athlete of all time. That
well,
would be
Bink's
thing.
If you're going to do anything and not have the best of the best do it, it's watered down. It just loses something. This is something on the 4th of July I look forward to, man. ESPN, you're watching Coney Island. It's the hot dog contest. It only lasts 10 minutes. If you're grossed out by it, just deal with it. It's 10 minutes. And you watch it, and then everybody talks about it all day. And you see Joey, then you shoot the fireworks. You do everything. I mean, it's a big part of the 4th. I'm glad it's
couple
back.
Weeks away. Couple weeks away. He'll be back, it sounds like, in the Nathan's Hot Dog
Vernon
eating contest.
Vernon and I simulated
contest.
This one time in the press box.
You simulated eating hot dogs, as in you just ate hot dogs?
Yeah, the Royals were playing, they usually play in the 4th of July. They always play in the 4th of July, but there was the home Royals game. And
oh, you've like, told this story. The hot dog fell on his pants.
No, it's a different time.
Oh, it left his stain on his
that
pants.
Was a different time.
Okay.
Vern's pants were stained a different time.
That's right. Okay. All right, let's talk about the NBA Finals. We got Game 5 tonight. Cash Out Bro is hanging on by a thread. That's because the Oilers are down 3-1 over in the Stanley Cup Finals. Remember, he needs the Oilers to win the Stanley Cup, and he needs the Thunder to win the NBA Finals.
No, 3-2.
3-2, sorry. Yeah, sorry, 3-2. But they're down a game. And so... the Thunder, though, are in position also to maybe wrap this thing up pretty soon, which is good for him, but he needs the Oilers on the other side. Game 5 we'll get to. I know Drew's probably sweating this one out tonight. He's a Pacers fan, as we know.
Yeah.
But did you
shocker.
Did you catch Paul Pierce talking about the NBA a little bit on his own podcast as well.
You know what city need a team? Kansas City. If Kansas City get a team, that crowd. Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
They love basketball.
Yeah, what they like right there.
Love basketball.
Midwest love basketball.
They do. They do.
I don't know why Kansas City don't have a team no more. Like, you see how the, you see how the Chiefs is.
Go take it to K.
Kansas, we the basketball. We the pros.
Every time I bring up the
Jayhawks. K-U.
So that's, so that was,
of course, Paul Pierce had to, you know, throw that,
was,
that
so
in.
So that
there,
was,
you
know? Paul Pierce. Look, I've told you that the whole conversation about any other professional sports team coming to Kansas City should be on hold until we can figure out what the hell the Chiefs and Royals are doing on which side of the state line and where and everything like that. As much as I would love an NBA and NHL team, we can't even get this thing figured out yet for the two teams that have been here forever. So no, I don't like this. This conversation is not as fun as it once was because I just want to figure out where the Chiefs and Royals are.
Do you actually think so? To me, again, I have some bias. I'm a basketball fan. I think it would be...
Drew, you're an everything fan.
It would be awesome.
The you're thing a fan of life.
So I am. Paul Pierce, him saying they people love basketball here. I think people do, but do you think... Because I think T-Mobile would be the spot. I think it's the perfect size for an NBA venue and everything. How well do you think that would do in comparison to... Hockey
would be better long term.
I think honestly, I have some opinions on this because this is a college basketball town, and it's been that way. It's the College Basketball Hall of Fame's there. It's more of a college basketball scene, I think, than pro. And keep this in mind. I had Kings season tickets back in the day. I mean, I loved going there.
Really?
And seeing it. Yeah, I did. But let's face it. Sprint Center, T-Mobile Center, opened in 2007. That thing is almost 20 years old, man. We're getting on the cusp of that thing being 20 years old. It's going to need renovations. You think this was a big mess for the Royals and Chiefs, you know, getting stadiums? That place is going to need an upgrade.
They would need millions and millions
of
upgrades.
And, you know, they have the 7-foot-high showers or 8-foot-high shower heads. It's built for an NBA team. I always thought the NHL, I'm with you, I thought the NHL would work in here better. But I'll say this, Kansas City should be more in the place to handle this. Because back in the day, when Sprint Center was first built, and you looked at these teams, and you think, things have changed, man. I mean, the Royals have won a World Series. The Chiefs have won 3. I mean, this has been major sports. You've had the NFL draft in this town. You're about to have the World Cup in this town. This has become a centerpiece of sports landscape. But yet, it never filled up down at the T-Mobile Center slash Sprint Center.
A lot of reasons for that.
There's a lot of reasons for it. But this town is more primed to have it now than it was back then. People have gotten used to winning, and the fans go out. Look at all the fans that went out to the K during this 6-game losing streak. I mean, that was nice fans. I understand everybody goes out to the Yankees games.
People would show up because it would be a thing
to do. People were going to the A's games. They were filling the stands.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree that it's better positioned now necessarily. I get what you're saying. You're no doubt Kansas City is on the map more than it ever has been. I don't disagree with that. My point is, like, I don't think they're better positioned now because I'll stick with what I said 2 minutes ago. They have not been able to figure out still where the Royals and Chiefs are playing and the financial hurdles that exist with that. And you're right. I think T-Mobile Center would require upgrades.
And
There's also the big problem of, you know, the whole ownership group thing. Not to mention the NBA is going to go to Vegas and Seattle here first before they even consider another spot. And then we had Nate Taylor on the show, I think, a week or so ago, and he was saying, based off of how things went down with the Kansas City Kings, he doesn't think we'll ever have another shot at one. I think long-term, as much as I would love NBA, imagine Mahomes sitting courtside while LeBron wouldn't be here at the time, but you get my point. Like, whoever the big star SGA's playing, and LeBron is maybe the owner of a team in Vegas, and his team is coming to town. Whatever it would be, like, it'd be amazing. I think actually long term NHL would be great, but we're wasting our time talking about. I actually think any of these other sports leagues coming to Kansas City until over the next 5 years we figure out what the heck's happening with the Royals and Chiefs.
Yeah, and there will be some of that, obviously, but just because they lost a team, I don't think it doesn't mean you can't get another one. Because we've seen the Kansas City Ace, but they got the Kansas City Royals. Atlanta's lost 2 NHL franchises, but yet people still talk about Atlanta maybe getting another NHL team. We've seen a lot of towns lose teams to Rams.
Yeah. Atlanta's a top five, top 10.
St. Louis lost the Rams. They lost the Cardinals as well. So they got another shot with that. Do I think Kansas City will get another shot with an NHL or NBA? I do, because I think the landscape has definitely changed for what Kansas City is. You know, 2007... NFL draft in Kansas City would have been a pipe dream at that point. Having a World Cup in Kansas City would have been a pipe dream. They've had championship parades. They've had four championship parades since then, including MLS Sporting winning during that time. But the Royals had a big parade. The Chiefs have had a couple. And Union Station became this, you know, the center of the NFL universe, which became with the NFL draft. I think the landscape has definitely changed in Kansas City. You become a world-class sports town now. Obviously,
disagree.
The airport. Yeah. And Kathy Nelson can sell that now when she's trying to get events to Kansas City. Obviously, the airport helped out. Getting an NFL draft here was huge for this town. But getting getting the World Cup over towns like Denver and stuff, it put Kansas City on the sports map. And I think they're more acclimated to have it. Unfortunately, we can't get the stadiums then because, again, as I said, if you do get a franchise, that's a 20-year-old venue now. Only Garth Brooks has banners in that damn place.
I think, too, for
which he does, by the way. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Real quick, regarding the Kansas City Kings were a relocated franchise to KC, correct?
They split times too between Kansas City, Omaha. They're Kansas City, Omaha Kings, but they were just the Kansas City Kings for a while.
Because I think that's like to what you said, Gold, of they're going to go to Seattle and Vegas next in terms of adding teams. I think they would, if anybody, it would be a relocation to Kansas City because they've already got the venue. Because if you expand two teams, they get to 32. No other pro league is more than 32 teams. So the likelihood of them even expanding beyond 32 is unlikely, I would guess. But Memphis has been talked about as a spot that could relocate for a while, for a few years
but
now.
But the good news, New Drew, Orleans, is you don't have to sell it to somebody. Because Boots DiBiaggio was the guy. They had to sell the team to him when the Sprint Center first came out for NHL. But you don't have to do that now. The owner can move in free and clear.
Yeah, if Casey's going to get one, it'll be relocation. They've got the stadium. They've got the arena. It's in a good spot. They've got what they need from a baseline perspective, I guess. It's just a matter of, is the NBA actually going to commit to Kansas City over other places? And the answer is probably no.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think NHL would be the only one in the next decade, maybe. But a lot of things have to get figured out. And then there's also the hurdle of course, those that operate T-Mobile Center are very happy with how busy the venue is with concerts. It's still one of the busiest venues that are out
there. It is, but Power and Light does struggle.
Yeah.
And I've seen it firsthand, like during the week, if they're not having a concert, and plenty of these arenas have NHL, NBA, and still have concerts as well. It can still be worked out. But as far as those businesses and stuff downtown, yeah, the concerts are one thing. But when there's no concerts, that is a ghost town, man.
Yep.
I mean, you couple NBA basketball with MLB baseball downtown, and you know the vibe of downtown already is solid, obviously, in Kansas City. You know, if you've been down there to Power and Light, but you add in another thing to do, I think there'd be some people just in terms of it just being something to do, you're going to attract some people to go to those games.
But I think
anyways,
one of these
they don't even have
qualifiers
to be
big
time fans.
They got to be good. Like you can't move somewhere and not be good.
Oh, that certainly
like,
helps.
You got to be good. Initially, you need that initial wave. The team has to be good.
Yeah, I don't even think it's the initial part's not the problem. People are going to go initially. That's why I think the issue would be 5 years into it when the team's not good. That's why the NHL, to me, has a better chance one day of being here and having more success. In the NBA,
people
are going to show
towns.
Up.
They have
I would be. I think in NBA, I'd be very concerned that we would be the Orlando Magic or Charlotte Hornets, completely irrelevant NBA franchise.
In fairness, the Magic are better now, but
Someone would be like, well, look at the Thunder, what they're doing right now. That took a very special circumstance and having maybe one of the best general managers in the NBA.
That almost
to make
became
that happen,
Kansas City.
Yeah. Anyway, so, all right. We'll get into the NBA finals tonight a little bit later on the show. We obviously talked a little bit more about the NBA.
I want to see
Kansas
Drew
City.
Cry.
What?
What about I don't think I
want to see Oklahoma City hammer jack yet and then you come in to work the next day.
That's not gonna make me sad though. Like
yes, it will.
I mean it made me disappointed, but I don't think I've never been more mad at a game. I've never been so irritated at a game or heartbroken that I've cried.
Also, a lot of people in the text line are saying, I don't know, where you said they start from, that Cincinnati Royals.
That was Oscar Robertson time, Cincinnati Royals.
Cincinnati Royals, yeah.
You want to see Drew cry tonight if the Pacers lose.
I've seen him with Burrow when he went down.
That's true. Tears were shed. Tears were definitely shed. One thing, though, that I think you guys both are in agreement on, and I'm not, and that is what took place this weekend. The U.S. Open was this past weekend in Oakmont. They're in Pennsylvania, at Oakmont, I should say. And I understand the ending of it ended up being exciting because you had J.J. Spahn walk it off with this unbelievable putt.
Want to cozy it up. Don't need to make it. Two putts.
So J.J. Spahn wins it. There was also a rain delay mixed in. He was the only golfer, right, that was under par for the entire
week. And it was because of that putt, otherwise he'd have been even.
Yeah, so I told you, you guys know this, I'm a very casual golf fan. I watch the majors, and that is it. I understand the U.S. Open is different. They kind of pride themselves for whatever reason on being the toughest course. At some point, though, like trying way too hard to be the toughest tournament with the toughest course, it is not fun as a casual golf fan to see everybody struggle. I'm not saying I want the scores to be 20 under, 18 under, 17 under. No, that's also, to me, a bit of an extreme. But that was a snooze fest until the end, man. I was not locked in at all for the weekend. The leaderboard stunk. Honestly, if we're being real, those of you listening right now, on Friday, if I would have said J.J. Spahn, how many of you actually knew who the hell that was? It was just, I think it was a terrible weekend.
Great, great tournament with Rory this
terrible
year.
Terrible weekend.
With the
had no interest in watching.
I loved it. I love the challenge. I love seeing
golfers struggling is not fun to watch.
I love seeing the best of the best be challenged. And they were. And they were challenged in many different ways. And I like seeing the best of the best in those situations because it's not perfect. You know, that reminds a lot of people just going and playing golf. When they go play with their buddies, they get their force and they go out there and they have these struggles or whatever on different courses. That reminded you of like regular golf. That reminded people themselves when they went out there and played golf. You know, seeing the guys that are the best of the best actually struggle. You're like, that's golf, man. That is golf in a nutshell. And I do watch every tournament. I love watching it. And I like seeing the great players challenged. I do. I like seeing them make great shots. And you're like, man, that was a great shot. And just the mental toughness it takes to win the U.S. Open. To me, that's the one to win. Masters are right up there, too. But to me, it's the U.S. Open, man. You win that course in those conditions when they're, you know, basically tiger-proofing the course against you. We've seen it. We saw, -6 for Bryson winning. It was -10 when Wyndham Clark won 2 years ago. So there's been some scoring and whatever. But I'm okay with that. Then you mix in the conditions. It was like the British Open.
It's the worst major of all of them. It's the worst.
I thought it was exciting. I thought it was great drama to the end, man. Guys were way back, like McIntyre, make 9 strokes back, coming back and making a shot at it.
He went 3-under Bink over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, and then 5 out of 6 holes, bogeys. For J.J. Spahn, who was out at 3 a.m. in the morning getting cough medicine for his daughter that was throwing up.
That stuff is amazing.
That stuff is real life, man. That stuff is Father's Day. 3 a.m., he's driving to Pittsburgh to a CVS because his kid's throwing up. To me, that's reality. What J.J. Spahn did was us. That is regular golfer going out there and winning. And I know he's better than that. Dude's a great story. Bottom line, he's just a great story with his health and everything else going forward.
Yeah, like people are texting in. Those of you texting in are, admittedly, I told you, I'm a casual golf fan. The diehard, someone said, I'm a diehard. I know who he is. Oh, Drew, I'm sure loved it.
I know.
Diehard golf fans know who these people were and loved it. I'm talking about usually major weekend. That's when
the Masters get
the Masters. And this is when the casual fan get locked in. I just thought it was a boring weekend at the U.S. Open. I'm probably in the minority on that. But also, those of you texting in saying you golf twice a week are not the people I'm talking about. I know you loved it. You would love it if it was like the worst golfers on the entire tour were competing. You guys were like, diehard fans are going to love the major no matter what.
Correct. I think that it was... Excuse me. I think it was.
Choked up. He's worried about tonight.
It was entertaining. I think for the reason why Bink said it, mainly because I think it watching them have to go through struggling situations. It's more of a. It turned into a. You just have to survive and make the least amount of mistakes. Where I think for one tournament a year, if this was a regular thing, it would get old, but I think for there to be one tournament a year where they're put up in the most challenging way, a course that's extremely long for the par that it is. It's a par 70 for 7,300. That's a long distance for only a par 70. For them to be in that situation, the rough the way that it was, it made you hit fairways. It made you hit the right. You had to be precise and execute in every way. And
I think to be mentally tough, man.
For the pro, like for us, obviously, us playing it on like our regular golfers, it would be a miserable experience and it would be no fun. I think for them, they're so good at what they do that it makes that I think you respect gold. It makes it look easy. Like at Augusta National, when Jordan Spieth shot 18 under, it looked easy. Where Augusta National never really looked easy like that until Spieth shot almost 20 under in it. This was challenging enough where it made the guys that can fire a 62, 63 be happy with a 70, a 71, and a 72. And I think it made it entertaining in a way that I guess was just a little bit different.
So you were locked in all day yesterday.
I was very entertained by the way
Scotty
that it
Scheffler
ended.
Scheffler was back in it because all the scores, you know, kind of.
So
came
you
down
watched all 6 hours yesterday.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I don't know why they switched.
You watched the entire
17.
You watched the whole day.
I watched it all. Yeah.
During the rain delay, I was more exciting watching. It was more exciting checking Tiger Woods. The result I already knew.
And why didn't they show a previous Oakmont? Yeah. Why didn't they show a previous Oakmont during that time?
Because they wanted people to. They wanted to show some Tiger.
But that was a great deal. He was hurt. You know? He was using that for a crutch, basically, the driver and everything. I like seeing people struggle, man. It was fun. And Scheffler was kind of, you know, hanging in there. And what he made a putt or two that he barely missed. But he was still kind of hanging around the situation. I just thought it was good drama. And now forever, it just changes this guy's life, man. You're like, man,
for him, it's great. I'm not saying, of course, for him, it's amazing.
Think about the ramifications in the golf if they win it. It's now 2025 U.S. Open champion. That carries forever.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, whoever wins it should be thrilled, and it changes their entire life. Nobody's disputing that. Him individually.
But you think
yeah.
about that stuff when you're watching. Like, man, we're going to see a first-time major champion here.
I think one of the cool things that JJ said afterwards was he was talking, like Binky, like you said, he had to get up at 3 because his daughter was sick and everything like that. I had to run to CVS. But
I mean, who does that?
For him to start,
real, man.
For him to bogey 5 of the first 6 holes, and he said he was having lunch with Max Homa at one point, and there was a Tiger story where Tiger's like, it's a U.S. Open. It's always hard. You just have to stay in it. Don't think about it. Don't try to do too much, because if you stick to what you do, if you just stay in it, everybody around you is going to come back to you. Like, it's just going to happen. That's the way that
it
goes.
They might Sam Burns it.
And the way that the course was, it was very, very difficult, where if you missed one or two shots, you could blow up. Tyrrell Hatton had that in the last couple of holes. And Sam Burns and Adam Scott, of course, blew up really just in the back nine. They really folded. Unfortunate for them, but good for JJ Spahn. $4.8 million, I think.
Yeah,
that's the biggest
not a bad payday.
It's the biggest purse
we already
in major
have three
history.
Majors done. It's hard to believe we have three of the majors done.
We're the
middle June.
The best major is next. Is the next?
That's
one.
Your favorite?
So
really?
A hot take. The Open. I love the Open Championship.
It's your big Tom Watson guy then.
Tom Watson was awesome. I love watching.
He's won
Tom
five
Watson.
Times.
He was tweeting about JJ Spahn yesterday. I did see that.
What do you think is best? I think the U.S. Open is definitely the toughest. Obviously. The Masters.
Gold doesn't like the U.S. Open.
I don't like the U.S. Open. So Masters and then PGA Championship are my two favorites of the golf majors, I would say. What about what's 1-2 for you?
I think U.S. Open, or not U.S. Open, the Open, Augusta, U.S. Open, PGA. For me.
All right. I am U.S.
And it's
Open,
not because the
Masters,
accent thing either. It's not
PGA
that.
Than the Open.
Okay. You like the Open?
I like
worst?
Them all, though. As far as those four, but I like
in terms of ranking them.
But I enjoy them all. I enjoy the majors.
The Open Championship. Yeah,
I enjoy just regular tournaments too. I
someone
like the
said I should check the scores of the 08 Tiger Woods U.S. Open. Yeah, but Tiger's compelling, so I don't care what the score is. That's
and
my
all these scores.
When Tiger's that dominant,
Tiger's compelling. Everything. So that's my point. Tiger's a compelling person. So I would watch. Tiger could be
he was the Joey
five
Chestnut
over
the
or 20 under. Either way, Tiger Woods would be entertaining, especially back in 2008 when he was right in the middle of it. Anyway, all right, up next, guys, let's talk some more Royals baseball. Everybody likes to play the blame game, so let's play it next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.